Are you sure the Shrike Temple here on Lussus is our best chance? I asked for the third or fourth time.
We can't forecast, said Johnny. All the Corps has to do is record a malfunction and we're dead. We can't even take an elevator from the lower levels. We'll have to find unmonitored stairways and climb the 120 floors. The best chance to make the temple is straight down the concourse mall.
Yes, but will the Shrike Church people take us in?
Johnny shrugged, a strangely insectoid gesture in his combat outfit. The voice through the Gunda helmet was metallic. They're the only group which has a vested interest in our survival, and the only ones with enough political pull to shield us from the hegemony while finding transit for us to Hyperion. I pushed up my visor.
Mayna Gladstone said that no future pilgrimage flights to Hyperion would be allowed.
The Dome of Mirror Black nodded judiciously.
Well, fuck Mayna Gladstone, said my poet lover.
I took a breath and walked to the opening of our niche, our cave, our last sanctuary. Johnny came up behind me. Body armor rubbed against body armor.
Ready, Brawn?
I nodded, brought the minigun around on its pivot, and started to leave. Johnny stopped me with a touch.
I love you, Brawn.
I nodded, still tough. I forgot that my visor was up and he could see my tears. The Hive is awake all 28 hours of the day, but through some tradition, third shift was the quietest, the least populated. We would have had a better chance at the height of first shift rush hour along the pedestrian causeways. But if the Gundas and Thuggies were waiting for us, the death toll of civilians would have been staggering. It took us more than 3 hours to climb our way to Concourse Mall, not up a single staircase, but along an endless series of met corridors, abandoned access verticals swept clean by the Luddite riots 80 years ago, and a final stairway that was more rust than metal. We exited onto a delivery corridor less than half a click from the Shrike Temple.
I can't believe it was so easy, I whispered to him on intercom.
They are probably concentrating people on the spaceport and private forecaster clusters. We took the least exposed walkway onto the concourse, 30 meters below the first shopping level and 400 meters below the roof. The Shrike Temple was an ornate, freestanding structure, now less than half a click away. A few off-hour shoppers and joggers glanced at us and then moved quickly away. I had no doubt that the mall police were being paged, but I'd be surprised if they showed up too quickly. A gang of brightly painted street thugs exploded from a lift shaft, hollering and whooping. They carried pulse knives, chains, and power gauntlets. Startled, Johnny wheeled toward them with the hell whip sending out a score of targeting beams. The minigun whirred out of my hands, shifting from aiming point to aiming point as I moved my eyes. The gang of 7 kids skidded to a halt, held up their hands, and backed away, eyes wide. They dropped into the lift shaft and were gone. I looked at Johnny. Black Mirrors looked back. Neither of us laughed. We crossed to the northbound shopping lane. The few pedestrians scurried for open shop fronts. We were less than 100 meters from the temple stairs. I could actually hear my heartbeat in the Force helmet earphones. We were within 50 meters of the stairs. As if called, an acolyte, or priest of some sort, appeared at the 10-meter door of the temple and watched us approach. 30 meters. If anyone was going to intercept us, they would have done it before this. I turned toward Johnny to say something funny. At least 20 beams and half that many projectiles hit us at once. The outer layer of the Titan poly exploded outward, deflecting most of the projectile energy in the counterblast. The mirrored surface beneath bounced most of the killing light. Most of it. Johnny was flung off his feet by the impact. I went to one knee and let the minigun train on the laser source. 10 stories up along the residential hive wall, my visor opaqued. Body armor burned off in a steam of reflective gas. The minigun sounded precisely like the kind of chainsaw they use in history holodramas. 10 stories up, a 5-meter section of balcony and wall disintegrated in a cloud of explosive flechettes and armor-piercing rounds. 3 heavy slugs struck me from behind. I landed on my palms, silenced the minigun, and swiveled. There were at least 12 of them on each level, moving quickly in precise combat choreography. Johnny had reached his knees and was firing the Hell Whip in orchestrated bursts of light, working his way through the rainbow to beat bounce defenses. One of the running figures exploded into flame as the shop window behind it turned to molten glass and spattered 15 meters onto the concourse. 2 more men came up over the level railings, and I sent them back with a burst from the minigun. An open skimmer came down from the rafters, repellers laboring as it banked around pylons. Rocket fire slammed into concrete around Johnny and me. Shop fronts vomited 1 billion shards of glass over us. I looked, blinked twice, targeted, and fired. The skimmer lurched sideways, struck an escalator with 12 cowering civilians on it, and tumbled in a mass of twisting metal and exploding ordnance. I saw 1 shopper leap in flames to the high floor 80 meters below. "Left!" shouted Johnny over the tight-beam intercom. 4 men in combat armor had dropped from an upper level using personal lift packs. The polymerized chameleon armor labored to keep up with the shifting background, but only succeeded in turning each man into a brilliant kaleidoscope of reflections. 1 moved inside the sweep arc of my minigun to neutralize me, while the other 3 went for Johnny. He came in with a pulse blade, ghetto style. I let it chew at my armor, knowing it would get through to forearm flesh, but using it to buy the second I needed. I got it. I killed the man with the rigid edge of my gauntlet and swept the minigun fire into the 3 worrying Johnny. Their armor went rigid, and I used the gun to sweep them backward like someone hosing down a littered sidewalk. Only 1 of the men got to his feet before I blew them all off the level overhang. Johnny was down again. Parts of his chest armor were gone, melted away. I smelled cooking flesh, but saw no mortal wounds. I half-crouched, lifted him. "Leave me, Braun. Run. The stairs." The tight beam was breaking up. "Fuck off," I said, getting my left arm around him enough to support him while allowing room for the minigun to track. "I'm still getting paid to be your bodyguard." They were sniping at us from both walls of the hive, the rafters, and the shopping levels above us. I counted at least 20 bodies on the walkways. About 1/2 were brightly clad civilians. The power assist on the left leg of my armor was grinding. Straight-legged, I awkwardly pulled us 10 meters toward the temple stairs. There were several Shrike priests at the head of the stairs now, seemingly oblivious to the gunfire all around them. "Above!" I swiveled, targeted, and fired in 1 moment, hearing the gun go empty after 1 burst, and seeing the 2nd skimmer get off its missiles in the instant before it became 1,000 pieces of hurtling, unrelated metal and torn flesh. I dropped Johnny heavily to the pavement and fell on him, trying to cover his exposed flesh with my body. The missiles detonated simultaneously, several in airburst and at least 2 burrowing. Johnny and I were lifted into the air and hurled 15 or 20 meters down the pitching walkway. Good thing. The alloy and ferro-concrete pedestrian strip, where we had been 2 before, burned, bubbled, sagged, and tumbled down onto the flaming walkway below. There was a natural moat there now, a gap between most of the other ground troops and us. I rose, slapped away the useless minigun and mount, pulled off useless shards of my own armor, and lifted Johnny in both arms. His helmet had been blown off, and his face was very bad. Blood seeped through 10 of gaps in his armor. His right arm and left foot had been blown off. I turned and began carrying him up the Shrike Temple stairs. There were sirens and security skimmers filling the concourse flyspace now. The Goondas on the upper levels and far side of the tumbled walkway ran for cover. Two of the commandos who had dropped on lift packs ran up the stairs after me. I did not turn. I had to lift my straight and useless left leg for every step. I knew that I had been seriously burned on my back and side, and there were shrapnel wounds elsewhere. The skimmers whooped and circled, but avoided the temple steps. Gunfire rattled up and down the mall. I could hear metal-shod footsteps coming rapidly behind me. I managed another three steps. 20 steps above, impossibly far away, the bishop stood amid 100 temple priests. I made another step and looked down at Johnny. One eye was open, staring up at me. The other was closed with blood and swollen tissue. "It's all right," I whispered, aware for the first time that my own helmet was gone. "It's all right, we're almost there." I managed one more step. The two men in bright black combat armor blocked my way. Both had lifted visors streaked with deflection scars, and their faces were very hard.
"Put him down, bitch, and maybe we'll let you live."
I nodded tiredly, too tired to take another step or do anything but stand there and hold him in both arms. Johnny's blood dripped on white stone.
"I said, put the son of a bitch down," and
I shot both of them, one in the left eye and one in the right, never lifting Dad's automatic from where I held it under Johnny's body. They fell away. I managed another step, and then another. I rested a bit, and then lifted my foot for another. At the top of the stairs, the group of black and red robes parted. The doorway was very tall and very dark. I did not look back, but I could hear from the noise behind us that the crowd on the concourse was very large. The bishop walked by my side as I went through the doors and into the dimness. I laid Johnny on the cool floor. Robes rustled around us. I pulled my own armor off where I could, then batted at Johnny's. It was fused to his flesh in several places. I touched his burned cheek with my good hand. "I'm sorry." Johnny's head stirred slightly and his eye opened. He lifted his bare left hand to touch my cheek, my hair, the back of my head. "Fanny,"